Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education work session. Today is Monday, June 22nd, and the time is 5:31 p.m. Mary, can we have a roll call, please?
Sure can. Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Tracy.
Here.
Mr. Heck.
Here.
All done.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Heck, before we get started, can I ask a point of, I don't know if it's out of point of order, about the agenda?
Yes.
I would actually like to see the PBIS presentation, student discipline presentation, moved. I think Jackie did a great job of providing us the information. I'd like to move it to either July or August based on what we have to tackle with budget and beyond tonight. I just think that that could, that those 40 minutes could be very valuable to us. And I told Jackie that I was doing this. I had nothing to reflection on Jackie. I love every one of her presentations, and I'd like to give it more full focus. So if that's something that anybody else on the board would like to see.
Is there support for that?
Yeah, I support it because for the same reason. If you know, we have your data, we have whatnot, gives us prepared for your presentation. I know you're prepared and another day would do it, but our agenda's full tonight. And just in the essence of we don't know because we have to come back into open session at the end. So I support the motion, the idea to do that.
Parliamentarian, do we need to vote on that?
I think we follow the rule that
as long as there's support,
that it was fine.
Okay.
But, you know, this is a work session, which I think has a little less of a
more flexibility.
More flexibility.
Okay.
I don't.
Any other discussion?
Any discussion from anybody else?
Is this okay with you, Jackie? I mean, we don't want to inconvenience you. We know you put a lot of work into this.
Anytime.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks, Jackie.
Right. Okay. Before we begin, please note this meeting's being live streamed and recorded. There are two cameras in use this evening, one focused on the Board of Education and another one that may be used during any public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge that you may be captured on video. Thank you for your understanding for joining us tonight. If you do wish to participate in public commentary, there are forms on the back table. Please fill those out and hand them in to Brian, who is coordinating that effort. Okay. So with our amended agenda, then the first agenda item, and I'll turn over to Superintendent Shaw, is the 2025-26 final budget amendment.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, sir. Again, back to our PBIS. That's not a problem for July or August at all there. So Cassie, I think you've got everything pulled up. If you want to walk the Board of Education through the 25-26 final budget amendment, please.
I'm just trying to... I'm going to start with the final amendment for the current fiscal year. The next page is showing an overview summary of all the funds. Now, the general fund is using quite a lot of the fund balance, and our margin is pretty thin there. And I'll go into some of the details of the changes there. Food service, we are using some fund balance, hopefully, if some of the projects get done, which is part of what we need to do in that fund. Our student and school activity fund, we always anticipate that the fundraisers they do will pay for the expenses that they are generating those funds for. Our bond debt fund is adding a little bit to fund balance because we've had some increases in property tax values, but we are covering the loan payments for the fiscal year, which is what that fund is intended to do. The sinking fund, we are using some of the fund balance for some of the projects, which is in alignment with what we should be doing with that fund after completing the majority of the bond work. I do have some, sorry, Mr. Heck. I do have some printed copies. I emailed it to Mr. Shaw. I don't know if it got emailed out to the entire board.
I guess.
Yeah, let me see. Some of
our paper. Yeah, let me just see. Maybe I missed it. Yeah, I don't see. If there's a hard copy, that'd be
great. I have about four more hard copies.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
Oh, you're printing it.
And then the building and site fund. Sorry.
Yeah, Gary. Oh, okay. You can pass this over to Gary.
There we go.
Sorry, Cass.
That's okay. The Building and Site Fund had some pool project donations come in again, and then there was a fundraiser that was started to add a batting cage type situation out between mm-hmm. the baseball and softball fields, yeah. but there mm-hmm. wasn't enough funds raised, so I deposited it there to safeguard those funds for that project should the another fundraiser happen and they get enough funds. When Dr. Hassan spoke to Mr. Shaw about it and Mr. Polizzi, they said if he could raise enough funds, then they would proceed with the project. But at this time, they didn't raise quite enough, but it is saved over in that building and site fund.
So it went into the building and site fund because?
That is a fund for special projects.
I thought so, it was facility stuff. It are temporary, movable, right?
No, this is a permanent.
No.
This was a permanent.
Yeah, it was a permanent structure.
Is that going in the second floor gym?
No, it was outside and by the baseball outside. Softball fields.
Sorry, catch me.
That's okay. Second.
How much money did they need to get it, do you know?
I don't recall offhand.
That project's in.
Sorry.
That project runs right around $55,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the bond and capital projects fund is using, now on the expenditure side, I don't anticipate that we'll complete all those projects by next Tuesday, but to the degree to which mm-hmm. we complete them is unknown to me at the present okay. moment. But that is leaving us with a little fund balance, and then when I do my fall amendment, that will refresh with what actually happened. But that's mm-hmm. the intention of that fund as well.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So because we're doing a proposed and a final from last year mm-hmm. and a proposed this mm-hmm. year, so we can use the trajectory of what we've done in order to lay the groundwork for what we're going to do later on. So when I looked at the budget proposal that was passed in June of 25, that was what we were doing for the next school year currently. And in there, it said the general fund had a decrease of $1.9 million. That was the projected. We ended up with a decrease of 5.2.
And if you looked at the February-March amendment, it had increased. If you let me get to a couple slides in the future.
So if you would like me to go through my file, I can probably find it. But no, I was just doing.
I have the Thanks. March or the February yeah. amendment a couple slides ahead so you can see the difference. Yeah.
I just want to also point out the fact that what we're doing tonight on the proposed budget is nowhere set in stone. It is very movable. It movable through a lot of different categories. And just so when we're passing that or we're looking at that, we have to be mindful of that. Because look how much this one moved.
Right, because I'm only speaking about the current year budget right now, so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Because, for example, right now we have to pass a budget, but the state hasn't passed theirs. So I don't know what our foundation increase, if any, will be. I don't know if there will be any changes to grants. I don't know if there will be new grants.
Right.
So there's a lot unknown. So it does often change because the state imposes a requirement on us but not on themselves to provide us with the necessary information in a timely fashion.
Yeah, that happens every year. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the swing isn't as big, I don't believe so, as this past year's been. So just in a mindful, just to be looking at it, that there is variances that cannot be calculated when we look at the next one coming up. That was the only sure. reason I pointed that out. Mm-hmm. What was the other one? So that $100,471, is that what you said the payment is? Or
no, ma'am. The payment is the $3,452,500.
Well, gosh, what a difference that is.
The $100,000 is what tax revenue we brought in above that amount that we were required to pay that this yeah. year.
Okay. And then the bond capital projects. Mm-hmm. That was the completion of all of those entrance ways and all that kind of stuff?
Correct.
Okay.
That I know isn't going to be done by next Tuesday, but.
Yeah, we get it. Thank you.
Yep. And our assumptions for this year are the state foundation allowance was $10,050 per student FTE. Our fall FTE is listed on the slide. We levied 18 mills against non-principal residence exemption property and 6 mills on commercial personal property for general operations. This includes our current contract obligations, the basic retirement rate of 29.91%, the changes in the health insurance hard caps.
Were there any changes in those were what we started out with the year as anticipated?
In what item on that slide?
So like the recent retirement rate.
Yeah, that was that already, did not change yeah. mid-year. That was what
and
was
the
stated.
The allowances we didn't know in June. And weren't they like the FTE per student like 9,000 and something the year before?
Yes.
Yeah. So we did get an increase there. What was that?
We did this year. Yeah. But as you recall, they did not pass their budget until after October 1st.
Yeah. I'm totally aware of that. I'm just looking at numbers and the increases mm-hmm. that we did increase that. And then the student fall FTE, that was an increase as well, right, for the special ed?
No, we did not have an increase this year.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
This is an overview slide of the different categories of expenditures, and I go into some detail on the next couple slides. So we did increase revenue of $4.2 million overall in the general fund, but then we did also increase expenditures by over $5 million. And I apologize on the printed copies. I did print them in black and white, so you can't tell which ones are green on the next page. We had an increase in our MIPSERS offsets of $246,000, which just offsets our retirement costs that we pay. And then the next few items are grant related. So the MIPSERS 147C2 is a UAAL payment. If you've ever heard me say that before, it's in money that the state gives us, and then we have to pay right back into the retirement system. Mm-hmm. The educator compensation grant that was provided by the state and then in turn paid out to employees on payroll. Our 31A at-risk funds increased slightly. Our final allocation for Title I came in higher. And then we had some additional Title I regional assistance grant through the ISD.
And that's the increase in revenue that was reflected on the previous page.
Yes, ma'am. And then the sale of the home build was higher than I had initially projected. And then I have the installment purchase proceeds that is pending closure, hopefully this month, for those buses that the board already approved the purchase of. And then we did have a slight decrease in our McKinney-Bento homeless grant, which also has a decrease in expenditures.
Does that cover all of our needs?
All of our homeless and transient student needs? No, it does not.
Okay. We're required to do a set aside with our title mm-hmm. funds also.
Yep.
How much money are you talking?
For the homeless grant or for what we have to set aside in Title I?
What we have to make up that we're not getting from the grant.
Well, our homeless liaison is paid for out of general fund and a smidgen of Title I money. We have some transportation that is not covered by the McKinney-Vento grant that we pay through with Title I and sometimes general fund if there's an overage. And that varies from year to year based on the students, because the rule is for that year, if you're their home school, you have to cover the transportation. And typically we do a 50-50 share with whatever district they're residing in, or vice versa. If they're residing in our area and being transported to there, we do a cost share agreement.
So what was it set aside approximately?
In Title I, I want to say we have to set aside 1 to 5%. It's not a huge amount. We do often set aside a little bit more than the minimum because we do know that we have a large population in our area at any given time.
Well, that exceeds the county, right? Does that population exceed the county, or is it only within the county?
It's within our
district. It's within our district
boundaries.
It's
within our district. Yep. Why did I think it was county?
So every school in the county, actually every school across the state of Michigan, has to have a plan for homelessness, and then they have to set monies aside. Mm-hmm. And so in our school district, as Cassie was talking about, we get the grant plus, then we have a set aside. Lots of it'll go towards different sports for the kids, but it's the transportation. And so there's within a reasonable distance. So if a homeless student ends up, for example, like about 25 miles from here, we're going to provide transportation back. Because the idea that when this was all created about 15, 18 years ago, 20 years ago, was to make sure that being homeless and having to go to a different school district doesn't impede them, because the idea is every time you move, your academic loss. And so they wanted to keep the kids at the local school.
And so every school does this?
Every school in the state of Michigan has.
I have a direct example.
It's 25 miles is Detroit.
We've gone all the way down to the border.
Mm-hmm. So currently we have a couple students that we're cost sharing with Flat Rock, with Woodhaven Brownstown, and initially it was Wyandotte Public Schools, but then they moved again to, I believe they're in one of the Dearborn districts. So those are the four that we're cost sharing some transportation with currently for some McKinney-Vento identified students. And it, like I said, it varies year to year. Last year I had maybe two. This year we've got four different districts that we're doing a cost share with. So it does vary greatly based on the situation of the students in our area.
Thank you.
And then as far as increases, there's all those same grants. We did have additional spending on some special education contracted paraprofessionals because we did not have enough qualified staff members to provide the services needed based on students' IEP plans. So the ISD had provided us with a contact for a third-party agency that provides high-quality qualified paraprofessionals. We had some additional transportation safety monitors on all the buses, some athletic projects, which I think this may have been what you were thinking of, Ms. Myers, with the upper gym motorized curtain and the movable bleachers to complete that project. We did have to contract out some athletic transportation, which increased the cost because our transportation department wasn't always available at the time frame that they needed. We did increase some maintenance contracted services in part because we had some vacancies and we still had some work that needed to be done. And then we had some additional dual enrollment and early middle college tuition for students taking college coursework than I had initially budgeted.
Right.
When it was a whole lot altogether. Did anybody have any questions on those items?
Someone else want to go first? So on the athletic, the upper gym and the bleachers, wasn't the mural done last year? I think
it was 2 years ago, I think.
That was a couple of years ago.
Oh, I was thinking it was last year.
Or maybe, like, it was not this, it was like.
For some reason, I thought the whole gym floor and the mural and everything was last year.
The gym floor,
I think it was 2 years
ago. Was it 2 years ago that they sanded that down? I don't remember if it was a year or 2 years ago.
Okay. I just didn't know if they were included in here.
2024.
24.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
It's October 22nd, 2024 is when we voted on that.
I like your program you're using. Thank you, Mary.
And then the McKinney-Vento expense decrease, and then we had some unfilled positions for contracted custodians and maintenance staff, which is why we had that increase in contracted services to still complete the work. And that's all I had prepared for the current year budget. I'm sure there's some additional questions.
Cassie, I'm assuming this will have to be disclosed or for the state?
Yes.
They already reviewed our agenda, so they've seen it.
Okay.
Yep.
And they're okay with it?
I mean, okay is a relative term. They are in agreement that it is a thin margin, and they will continue to be watching, yes.
That's just based on the one we just went through, the finalized of the previous year.
Yes.
Or are you discussing the proposal coming up?
No, this was the finalized.
One.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there was the usage of the things and the way it went, or well, I don't know what you meant by how you answered that.
When we did have our, which it's on the agenda for tomorrow to discuss the call that we had today, but they did review the agenda because we had been saying that this is the meeting that we were going to be amending our budget and presenting the final budget or the proposed budget for next year. And they did pull it up while they were on the call, and they agreed with my assessment that it was a thin margin, and you know, we were making concerted efforts in the following year to reduce expenditures to have a better balanced budget.
Now, did they have any suggestions on things that they would recommend that we do differently?
The team that we're working with now is more of observing and just looking at the data. They're not in the mode of making direct suggestions for changes.
Okay.
So no, they don't say anything specific as far as that they would recommend. They just want an update as far as what our process has been and changes that we've made.
So these contractors, custodians, or the unfilled positions, the cost of an unfilled position would be the overtime that's required to do that? Is that what the 375 is?
That is the amount I reduced the contracted custodians line because we had unfilled positions.
Okay, so that was the reduction because
yes.
It's not in green.
Well, the green is grant, but there's an offsetting revenue decrease.
And then the maintenance staffing changes the same thing because there's vacancies?
That's the amount I reduced that those line items, yes.
Okay. You reduced it by that amount or you reduced
yes.
it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if everyone, any other questions before I move on to next year?
So there was nothing else we could determine that could be done on the finalized in order to make it presentable?
No, that I did as much moving around and reducing and adjusting as I could to make it as good as I feasibly could with the information that I have on hand. Yeah.
Thank you.
Does the state ever provide anybody that would help with suggestions or anything like that?
If you move into their higher level, I'll call it danger zone, that is when they become more involved in the decision making. So that is a possibility, but
we hope to avoid that.
Yeah. We need to avoid that
yes.
at all costs. So
yeah.
there should be about 15 stop measures in
right.
order to prevent us
yeah.
from getting there on every purchase, on everything that we do for sure. And I know you're aware of that because this is your job and you do it more than I could ever understand.
And that's why it's imperative when we're discussing the budget that every dollar matters.
Mm-hmm.
And how we're, like, even if it seems like a small reduction and we could make a different small reduction, I think every little bit adds up to a lot. So it's important that each item that we're bringing forth is considered because there's a reason that the team identified it as an opportunity that we could reduce some expenditure.
I think the same thing goes for anything proposed to be purchased.
Sure.
that should have the same amount of review from not only you guys, but the board to say, you know, where are we at in spending these dollars?
Sure.
Because, you know, we've made changes to small amounts, like, you know, $5,000-$10,000 to in order to get this working. So thank you, Cassie.
Yeah. So for the 2026-27 school year, we are still levying 18 mills on non-homestead and non-qualified agricultural property for operating purposes, and 6 mills on commercial personal property for operating purposes. The sinking fund, we did have a marginal Headley rollback, which is why you see 0.9987 mills instead of 1.0.
Do we have that page?
It is page 10.
All right.
And that is due to some property tax values increasing at a higher rate than they anticipated. And then still the 1.5 mills on all property for the bond debt purposes.
So why isn't technology millage on here?
That's not our millage. We're not levying that. The ISD.
Even though we get money from it, correct. It's not us that's doing this.
We don't fill that out on our L-4029, which is our levy document that we submit. So we're not levying that. The ISD is, and then
they pay
transfer
us.
The funds to us.
Okay. So I'm going to ask a question now because I have tried to find the answer.
Sure.
So when the vote was done, it was on property values and stuff at the time. So as property values increases, are we levying on what it was in 2020, or as people's property increases, we levy on the increased amount?
So each year I have to complete, which I will be asking Mrs. Vincent and Mr. Heck to sign off on the L-4029 tonight. Each year we have to submit a form to both the county and all the local taxing authorities. And each calendar year, the property values are updated and we're levying the current amounts.
So where is the is that the language in the bond that says that we're doing that? Because that was the questions I had for Andy this morning, was like, how is that working? So do we have to do that? Is that something that was decided in 2020? Because that, to me, there's a taxation issue that I can see, and I can't find the answer to know whether that's true or not.
That's the rules of property tax levying, that we have to update it each year based on the current property values.
Right. So you want to answer?
Yep, I'll go.
Sorry.
Okay. So the other part is Cassie does the analysis with
PFM, Mrs. Blanchett.
Going to get right there.
That's the bank.
No, that's not the bank. That's our financial group that assists us in calculation of all the numbers that goes into your bonds and what you're going to levy. And so they do projections on taxable values, and they keep it extremely conservative. For example, they rolled in what's going on with the power plant and the taxation there, and if that reduces. So this is so each year that gets analyzed. So as Cassie showed you and Cass, can you just slide the screen back to the page where it shows paying the bond? So right here, if we look at the bond debt, we need
a little bigger.
Thank you. I appreciate you making that bigger so I can read there. So if we look at revenue needed, we have to our bond payment is almost $3.5 million.
And that does change each year based on the terms of the bonds.
Yep. So it's imperative so our first and foremost requirement is we have to collect enough money each year to make that payment. And so for us, that's at 1.5 mils. Now, we could begin to start to look at down the road at going down because we're collecting enough money. But one of the things we're being very cautious of is that we don't know what's fully going to happen when the plant closes. So having enough cushion in the bond fund balance is an important part, and so but you're only allowed to have so much, and so we're about halfway to that number of what we're allowed to have as a fund balance. So the idea is that we still levy the 1.5 mils. Once we know what is going to happen with the plant and where the taxable value of that's going to end, then we can start to make that decision about, okay, now we've made sure we've already collected enough. Now we can roll back to that 1.4, 1.35, whatever that number becomes.
And the
if we don't have.
So there is an ability to be able to address that. It's not set in stone. And
it goes both directions, so
it can go both ways, though.
I understand that. So I'm just trying to catch up with you because I didn't catch. Nope. So if my house is worth $100,000 and I'm levied 18 mils, right, on that.
You're not levying 18 mils. It's your homestead property.
Okay. So whatever is being.
Yeah.
Whichever property is being levied and that value of the property goes up. Mm-hmm. So it is built into the bond or the language of what you said with the taxation. Because here's my thing. Like if things are improving and people improve their property and they voted on this back in 2020 and it went like this, you know, and now they're being taxed on a higher property than they were before, like, you know, I just want to make sure that we have to do that.
But there's a cap on how much your property can.
Sorry.
The Headley cap.
And a debt fund millage is when you pass it on the ballot, it's set, you indicate an amount of mills that is required for the amount that you're seeking in bonds.
Right.
However, as over time, when property tax values change, the mills that you're levying will be adjusted so that you're always collecting enough to pay your debt payments. So it could go, if our property tax takes a big dip, it could go up. If our property tax values increase a lot in our area, then we could go down. But what we don't want to do is dip it down and then have to dip it back up. So they do have in their projections the potential changes in the DTE property tax values. So they do have that in their projection, but until the tax tribunal decides what the end effect is going to be, Andy and I had discussed keeping it at 1.5 for this year to see where things go, and then possibly going forward start to tick that mill down, because we don't want to go over the threshold of what we're permitted to have in the fund, sure. But we also don't want to have enough cushion for when that tax tribunal occurs.
And that's the end result there, is if there's not enough money inside there to pay your bill, or you don't carry a fund balance, then you're taking out your general fund. So that's the cautious side. So to your question, Darla, yes, there is a mechanism on the bond side only where that can move, but that's all about that bill being paid.
Yeah. Okay. That's only for the debt millages. The others are set at what you passed it. The only time it changes is, as you can see with the sinking fund, where there was a Headley rollback.
Right. So I understand that now, so thank you. And L-429, again, why does that need, like, tell me that one again.
So that is a document, and I can read you the name of it. It is is each calendar year, so like this one is the 2026 tax rate request. It's the state of Michigan form that we're required to complete for all of our millages that we are asking the taxing authorities to collect and send directly to us.
So it's just a standard, you have to sign it and put it on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I mean, only if you want us to receive the tax money, which you do.
We do. Thank you. I just want to make sure we're doing, and I understood how that's all being done.
Absolutely.
And, you know, especially when it has to do with taxes. And, you know, people are struggling right now, and, you know, we don't want the school to struggle by no means, but thank you. Thank you for all taking the time for that to be understood. I know that took a hot minute.
So this is the overall summary, and I'll get into a little bit of detail in the general fund. I do show us adding a smidgen to our fund balance in the amount of $38,869 next year based on my current projections. I am showing us using some food service funds, which is what we need to do in that fund because we are in an excess fund balance. Again, the Student and School Activity Fund, I always project that their fundraisers are going to pay for the activities. You can see us making that debt payment and debt collections, sinking fund using some of our fund balance. Building in sight, I don't anticipate additional pool project funds. I think this was the last year that particular family was going to donate. And then using the remaining of the bond capital projects fund.
And you're probably going to get into this, yep. but maybe I'm. I'll let you okay. go because the last page, the fact that the revenue is dropping $2 million, it looks to be due mostly from state and federal sources.
That's probably just a projection because you don't know, right?
Mm-hmm. It's over $3.5 million from state and $2 million from the feds.
Mm-hmm. I've got notes on it for you.
Yeah, I'll let you go ahead. I'm.
Our budget assumptions, I did budget an increase of $100 per student FTE. All of the current proposals have an increase of $250 or more. Yeah. And then I did budget a 70 FTE enrollment decrease. I have in the budget the grant revenue equaling the expense. And then I held our federal grants flat because.
Sorry.
That's okay.
We were looking at the first page. So on the budget proposal for the next year under general fund, we anticipate only a fund balance of $437.
That's $437,000.
Okay, $437,000 considering. Yeah. We're supposed to have how much in there?
Yeah. Now, ideally, you want to have between...
It used to be 8 to 12% is what...
I'd love it to be at 15%.
Yeah. We used to say 8 to 12. And
it's going to be at 0.62%. So it is still quite low.
Right. So,
what I'm projecting for the end of next year is 0.62%.
Less than 1%.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's the fact. Last year we had 77 million expenses. We're projecting 7 million less expenses. Yeah. But we're getting almost 5 million less revenue.
Yeah. So
we don't know that for sure yet.
That's why, yes, you're exactly right. So what we did is we remember when we started back in March that this budget was going to reflect a balanced budget, but it's also going to reflect very not letting the state come in and harm us. So we kept everything extremely conservative on your numbers. So it reflects the amount that we've reduced expenditures by. The variable is, I mean, we could have put in there some bigger numbers on revenue, but until Lansing actually gives us some hard numbers, this is it. So that's why this is an initial. The difference that this budget presents that our prior ones have in the past is it's showing in addition to fund balance right now, and it's showing a reduction of expenditures.
So, Cassie, you were saying...
Significant reduction.
Cassie, you were saying, if I'm following, the estimate appears to be 250, and you conservatively put plus 100.
Correct.
Okay.
All the proposals on the table are at 250 per pupil increase, and I've estimated it at 100 to be conservative.
Which is smart. We're being conservative. Okay.
Yeah.
So... when we're talking about the amount of money that the school district is managing and we talk about a general fund balance, I look at it this way, like that's my bank account. Mm-hmm. And to have a bank account be under $500,000, like that's a couple purchases from Dave. I mean, right? You can do a technology purchase. I always blame Dave.
And you have to remember this is revenues and expenditures. This isn't cash in the bank.
Yeah. No, I just was saying.
And I agree. I
like this is like
quite low, but I can't.
This used to be 8 to 12%.
And I can't. To your point, I can't make the numbers something that they're not. I have to show what my estimation is at this at present.
If you get Cassie,
once I get over the numbers, it'll be easier.
Which I think will help a lot.
Yeah.
Let her move ahead a couple of screens here.
So I have within the budget the current contract obligations, the year one severance plan payments. It does include the open executive director of HR position that's currently posted, estimated at a step one, which is a little bit of a savings from the current person occupying it who has a longevity with the district.
We're talking about the cabinet position?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Can you, if this is a step one, what was the person at, or is that something?
Step three.
Okay.
So there's three steps, but then there's also longevity within the contracts, but she is currently receiving both of those. The staffing changes that have already been discussed with the board at all the buildings, the literacy curriculum for grades 6 through 8 that the board already approved, and the manor office furniture to complete that secure vestibule and new office area that the board already approved. Retirement rates are specific to each employee. The basic retirement rate is decreasing to 27.51%, which is about 2.4% decrease from the current year.
What's that mean for employees?
It doesn't mean anything to them. It means our cost is going down 2.4% that the district pays. That's our portion. Yeah. And then the healthcare costs, there is a 3% increase for 2027, which is, again, our cost. But we don't have the new rates yet. Those are still being obtained by the insurance broker.
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the district, for our budget, though, the 3% increase, that's on us. If it's, mm-hmm. for example, a 10% overall, we're picking up 3 of it. The employee picks up the other 7.
Yeah.
So that's the shift being a hard cap district.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next slide is where it's comparing our final amended to what I have proposed. The local sources are an increase in property tax revenue. The state sources, when your property tax revenue goes up, your state unrestricted state aid goes down, because between your 18 mils and the pupil allowance gets you to that per pupil foundation amount. And then this year we did.
So it's not good for that to go up.
Well,
you can't.
That is a factor you can't control. It goes both ways. It goes the same way. If your property tax values goes down, your per pupil that you're receiving, your state aid is going up. So it shifts either way. And then we also had some one-time grants this year, the 27L2, which was over $600,000. Our 35M and 35N literacy grants were one time for last year. And then the federal sources, because I held things flat, there was a slight decrease because I don't know what kind of carryover we're going to receive. And then the incoming and other transaction is I'm anticipating additional special ed money because we've spent more special ed money this year. So that should increase what we're receiving from the ISD because that's based on your cost reports.
So I'm just going to ask this because mm-hmm. it's on here to verify.
Yep.
Of all federal funding sources, that's all that we get from the federal government? Because does that include like the food program or
no,
anything
ma'am.
Like
this
that?
No, ma'am. This is just the general fund. Fund. The food service, the federal money we receive for food service is held
separate.
In the food service fund, yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Did, Cassie, for the 31AA, did you just assume zero?
I assumed zero.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that's
yeah.
up in the air, and I didn't yeah. want to have the issue that we had this yeah. year where I budgeted, a hopefully fair portion, and then we had to yeah. figure that out.
Good decision. Let's assume zero.
Good thinking there, Cassie.
Yeah. And then you'll see the changes in the expenditures, mm-hmm. which were throughout all the function codes. Yeah. There was not any one function that didn't have a reduction between staffing, supplies, the capital outlay, all the things we've discussed with the board when we've been discussing the budget. Yeah.
So are these the totality of the decreases that we discussed reflected right here in instruction, district support, and other?
Yes, ma'am. And that includes those one-time grants. That's why it's higher than what was discussed with the board, because those one-time grants were also a reduction in revenue and expenditure. And I can't imagine that there aren't any questions.
So to bring up something that Darla said a while ago, yes, moving forward for this coming year, if you see something on the agenda to be approved, it means it's been taken through the ringer as far as, is this a major need? It's not even a want. Is this one of those areas that we have to have something for a functional purpose of the school district? Wants and or likes will not be brought to you this coming school year because, again, every dollar, as Cassie alluded to, mm-hmm. Will matter.
But what happened last year was we approved and approved and approved without any thought. And I think that we would like to change that practice and put some thought into those things as well as what you're doing.
Yep.
So I understand, you know, we all have those things yep. that we've vetted, but, you know, the board also has to, you know, push the dollar because who's accountable to the finances? Ultimately, it's us. And so.
So, Cassie, could you take a moment? And so, you know, Tom had posed a question at the very beginning right there. So we see the $2.5 million less of revenue the prior year. Is that more because of the grants? Is that more because of that 70 student loss? What are those contributing points right there so we can bring some clarity for him?
That is mostly grants. Some of it would be the loss of students and the change in the property tax values yeah. between those state and local sources.
Yeah.
Because the majority of it is state. It's mm-hmm. 3.6 million from the state.
Yes, sir.
How much? Go ahead.
Because, you know, I think the staff has done a great job. I mean, if you reduce your expenses by 10%, that's pretty significant.
It is.
That's an amazing job.
It is.
But unfortunately, hopefully the state comes back through and then that will add to the mm-hmm. fund balance.
And that, and to your point, Tom, I appreciate that because that's when we start to think about you know, where Lansing sits and what they need to do.
Yeah.
So for right now, example, like right now, a communication went out today on the 31AA money.
Yeah.
And that that right now, unless the House does something, pushes it, and to push for the language change on the idea of attorney-client privilege, keep the investigation, but the attorney-client privilege, they're going to yeah. push through the way it was this past year. So for Monroe, same numbers as last year, it's $500,000
yeah.
that would not come to us then.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah.
But hopefully they change the language on what constitutes a mass casualty event, mm-hmm. and then maybe it's more palatable for us to accept mm-hmm. the money.
Potentially yeah. there. And like Cass said, too, your foundation increase to there's yeah. the House, the Senate, and the government, they've got to finish the negotiations. And whatever that number is that we finally see and when they approve it, then Cass is going to answer mm-hmm. your question. I think I want her to follow up mm-hmm. with next steps with our budget, especially mm-hmm. a budget revision.
Perfect. So, Cassie, this might be for you. Tom, you also might have this information top of mind. On average, what is our attrition for student enrollment typically?
It has varied the last several years. I want to say we lost 80 FTE this last fall. It's been trending to being a less of a reduction year over year. Several years ago, we were budgeting for 150 FTE yeah. loss, mm-hmm. so we thought it was prudent, given the last couple of years where that number has shrunk, to reflect that in our budget yeah. proposal.
So yeah. you did it at 80?
At 70.
At 70. That was my question.
For a while, we were probably running 3 to 4% per year. Now it's
yeah.
probably down
yeah, it's,
1 to 2%.
Yeah.
It's evening
yeah.
out a bit. I don't want to jinx yeah. it, but yeah. it's evening out a bit. To your point about the fund balance, Ms. Myers, that is also why we have that state aid note for the Municipal Finance yeah. Authority, because without that cash flow borrowing, we would not have enough fund balance and cash on hand for the operations through July and August.
I don't always recall yep. everything. The payoff on that is how long?
So we typically and intend to do the set-aside payments, which start in January, and then it's paid off in August.
What was the interest on that again? I know it's pretty favorable.
1.9. Their estimate is 4.25% based on the forms that the authority sent out, but then because we are participating in the set-aside, we do also earn interest on those set-aside payments. Okay. So it's not a one-for-one by any means, yeah. but it does offset that a little bit.
So probably somewhere 3.5%.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, net, okay.
Didn't we have one that we just did that was 1.9%?
That is the private one for $3 million. I don't remember the one offhand, but that final payment is this one.
That was the only number that popped in my head. Was one.
That was from back in October.
And that's a five-year?
No, ma'am.
That's a single year.
I pay the final payment this month.
Not on the one we just took out.
You haven't? Which one?
Never mind.
So we've done several things. That's okay.
Probably better not talk.
So we did an installment purchase agreement for the scoreboard, which is going to be paid through the advertisements. Mm-hmm. That first payment will be due in 26-27. That's accounted for. We have the bus loan that we're closing on, and that is a three or four year. But the state aid note is always just a 1 year. We don't extend that further because that's cash flow borrowing.
Like a $3 million.
That was the state aid note, cash flow borrowing.
Just do the same thing.
Yes.
Yes.
And that final payment is this month. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Can I be Pollyanna for a second? I was talking to some of the legislators, and they were looking at trying to get us 300 to 400 per student.
Okay. I would love that.
I'm just telling you what they said.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love it.
We all would. Okay. And they were trying to get the 31A reinstated without all the strings that were attached to it.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. Now, what I'm asking is pretend, as being Pollyanna, like mm-hmm. I said, if we get to 300 or 400 a month and we get the money back from 32AA, are we going to put that into our savings? Or do we want to spend it?
I would be hesitant to spend any of it. We are at the point that we definitely need to build back up that fund balance before we talk about any major changes.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, because we're under 1%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
And so I'm assuming mm-hmm. that if, north of 5-6, being Pollyanna again, if that would happen, that the state would look upon it favorably if we were able to take that money and set it aside.
Pollyanna. So. What might help?
Discussions.
Well, the foundation allowance is unrestricted. You can use that in whatever manner. That would not be an issue to just roll that into your fund balance. Mm-hmm. The 31AA, because it's a grant, we would receive it, but if we didn't spend it, then it would be an unearned revenue. So it would be a liability on our balance sheet. So that wouldn't necessarily go into your fund balance, but what we could look at is some things that perhaps we moved into general fund because we lost that money and didn't have enough in other grants to cover it. We could move some things back in there and then have unrestricted general fund dollars that we can use to build our fund balance.
That's exactly my thinking. Okay.
Yeah, because if you look at this is a proposed budget.
Yes.
So if you look at those numbers, anything we get that can be allocated in different ways to build that fund balance up, that would be an opportunity to say, let's pay some of that stuff so we use up that money. So, yeah.
So to take it a step further, and that kind of, I appreciate that segue for Cassie. So she's going to talk about the plan moving forward. Once we get all the information from Lansing, once we get our student count in the door, once we get our audit in the door, and a budget revision. So, Cassie, if you could take a moment there, please.
Yep. Auntie and I have already discussed the need to do the first budget amendment before the new year. Mm-hmm. So once we have that state budget, we see where our pupil count comes in October, then doing in November, December, that initial amendment, so then we can see earlier where we're at. So if there's additional changes we need to make in any manner, we have that time to do so.
I think the sooner the better.
Right.
Right.
Well, hopefully the state doesn't wait till October again.
Well, right. Well, the good news is we have our preliminary title allocations out this week, which is 3 months earlier than it felt like last year. So, but those are preliminary, so they're always, they'll hopefully come up in the final.
It's a political year. But remind everybody there's elections.
Yes, true.
So things will be different, I believe.
Right.
I would categorize this, Cassie, as worst-case budget.
Right. I call it conservative, but you could call it doom and gloom. I wouldn't be doing my job and doing the district justice if I didn't show things the way I'm currently seeing them. I don't like seeing these numbers in our fund balance any more than you guys like seeing me tell you them.
Yep. We appreciate it. I'd rather see what it could be.
Right.
And hopefully
it's up from there. That's why we stayed conservative with the foundation increase. We stayed conservative with the grants. We didn't budget for some of the one-time things because we just don't know. And I'd rather be able to increase it than have to tell you that I have to back it off more.
So remember that with the budget that will be that's being presented tomorrow night, there are items aside, built in there that will that we bring a proposal. It's already been pre-built in. We talked about that before, but we already have talked at this level that there's, really for the foreseeable future, unless it's a have to, it's not coming in front of you guys. And when we say a have to, it's back to, that's why you see proposals from either the sinking fund or the TAC millage. Those are things that go in there. But for a general fund cost, that's why we made the reductions we did this year and have been planning ahead with that. So
my suggestion is going to be going forward, and this is me speaking, this isn't the board speaking, but plan on maybe needing to find a plan B because, tomorrow's budget has how many hundreds of thousands of dollars that is being asked to be spent right after we're looking at this. And, so have a plan B. I'm just saying from our perspective, have a plan B because you can't do the I'm going to get it because I want it scenario.
But tomorrow's items that are on the agenda are not items that, hey, we want it, so we're going to get it. But it's also items that's sinking fund, and tech. It's not a general fund item. And so it will not have any impact on your general fund. But we can have that conversation tomorrow.
Technically, the tech millage is in the general fund, but it's designated for those purposes.
Yeah, right.
Well, technically, most of the funds are out of the general fund. Curriculum, right?
It's curriculum, yes.
Yeah, so there are those that are part of the general fund. So you say, we're taking out of the curriculum fund, it's still general fund. Yeah. We're taking it out here, it's still general fund. We're taking it there. And that's where I think it would be helpful for maybe board members to know that.
I think they all know.
I don't have it memorized. I don't have it memorized. But which one's coming out, one's associated.
But that's where we'll come through, Alan, say to you, this is a general fund cost. For example, you bring up a great point, Darla. I know that at the 9-12 level, they're going to be looking at literacy materials, right? And unless we get a grant this next year, next spring, the only way it will come in front of you is if there's a grant, or we know that the legislature is already coming out and it's established what the next year's budget is going to be for us. Otherwise, it won't be in front of you because those kinds of items will be a no.
Using Lucy Calkins at the high school?
No.
They never did.
No.
That was the younger grades.
Yep. The legislature is looking at some type of rule on literature for 9 through 12.
Yep.
Hopefully, there's a grant associated with it.
Well, they're also looking at the third grade.
We did for the early.
They're also looking at bringing back the third grade reading law.
Yeah.
And that's going to have a big impact because that's going to require some retention where we currently don't have a retention. And I know retention was one of the subjects that we had requested that we talk about, we look at, and see what we do. On my red sheet. What day, Andy?
It's coming up right here.
But anyway, so those conversations are definitely going to be pertinent to everything going forward.
And Andy and I have spoken about making it even more abundantly clear on the motions, whether it's something that's already included in the budget is being proposed tomorrow, or if it would be in addition to.
So
the technology millage purchase tomorrow, there's already budget for technology millage capital outlay in the budget for next year. So that's kind of already there in a sense. Not designated for that particular project because the board hasn't taken action. Those dollars are already in that line item.
One of the things we talked about, even with the sinking fund, because correct me if I'm wrong, that fund needs to have enough of a balance in it maintaining in case there is a facility roof caving or something that's not covered, because we had the whole roofing conversation. Yep. That's why I bring that up.
Historically, we tried to keep about $1 million in there just in a just-in-case situation. If something I hate to say anything because I don't want to jinx anything. Yeah. In case there was an equipment failure somewhere, we would have the funds to make that emergency repair.
So projecting
because our current circumstances would even make that more problematic. We say we're spending sinking fund, but we also have to understand that we don't have a backup fund if something's needed.
Go to page 11. I think this would be helpful. So if you go to page 11 on the sinking fund, It shows beginning balance, the revenue, the planned expenditures, the ending fund balance of almost 2.6 million.
Yeah. So that's why I asked her what.
Yeah.
So that 2.7 million is already planned out items for the whole year, mm-hmm. but we're going to continue to carry that fund balance of almost 2.6 million. So that for that very purpose.
Mm-hmm. So tomorrow night, the items that are being requested out of the sinking fund, is that coming out of the 2.7 or the 2.5? That's the information you're going to give us from now on.
It's
right?
out of the expenditure portion. I did not flip to that page.
And just because that's, I think that was
that 2.7 went. Yeah, so that 2.7 number, if you look at that one, it says expenses, that's all the
stuff. That's allocated to projects and things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just a number on the sheet of paper right now. What we bring before the board is what we're using, that number we have allocated for.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Is that the, I know I got it here somewhere, the site sinking fund project list that we just had done?
Yep.
And so if I cross-reference that, they'll cross-reference?
I would venture to guess that those projects that he's proposing
there.
Yep.
I'm keeping my files complete. Mm-hmm. I can have that number, right? You can tell me whether it's coming out of that or that, right? And that I could literally track that. So
it won't, but it won't be.
It's
but it won't be
one for one.
It's not gonna be one for one
because some of the sinking fund things that we charge there are below the threshold where the board may just be informed in board briefs, or it may even be under the amount to where you wouldn't even be informed in board briefs. But the larger scale projects.
The big one that would be helpful that you'll reflect back on here this last month was we bought the fans. I know it's not the right term, but the fans for the chillers at the high school, right? Yeah. That was the same fund. That is not on that list. If you go look for it, you're not going to see it on there. On that,
because it's below the threshold.
No. On that detail.
It wouldn't have. It wasn't.
You can't do a cross-reference. That way you're going, those fans aren't on there.
But that would come out of
some of the things.
Yes. But you'll be able to tell us that going forward. So we have a greater understanding of where the money's coming from and how it's being utilized. That's helpful.
That's on my tickler to make sure that I have that better for you.
Because you know we'll ask.
Yep.
Thank you, Cassie.
All right. That's all we have for the budget material, sir.
Okay. Next agenda item is public commentary. Brian, do we have public commentary?
We do have public commentary, Mr. Heck. Okay. I'm going to start with Mr. Thompson. You generally have 3 minutes. Right. I'll give you a 30-second timer. And then I'm not going to shut you up, but start wrapping it up.
President Heck and board, I respectfully object to the motion to enter a closed session under MCL 15-8, based on comments by this board on June 8, 2026. Captured on video. It is my assumption that the closed session will be to consider communications between the independent counsel, Superintendent Shaw, and this board. My assumption is that based that you'll be listening to your counsel, Jerry Chisholm, to discuss legal aspects of a case that I may raise and that you may have questions. If my assumption is wrong, I apologize for the minutes of the time. However, it is my assumption is correct. Please know that Superintendent Shaw has already lied upon and disclosed the conclusion of his independent counsel's investigation as the basis for rejecting the Title IX complaint filed by Mr. Lechner. Consequently, by placing independent counsel's conclusion at issue and using them to justify official action, the district and Superintendent Shaw has waived
any attorney-client privilege concerning those matters. Most significantly, and I want to stress this, most significantly, what Superintendent Shaw's letter attaching the 12-page report from the independent counsel says should be the controlling issue and should be the basis upon which you make your decision whether you should have a closed session. And I'm quoting directly from his letter attaching the 12-page conclusions upon which he based his decision. And I'm quoting. Now, this is a letter sent to me April 30, 2026. And this is, I'm quote, in a second paragraph. The Board of Education hereby waives the attorney-client privilege for the decision-maker's report delivered to the board April 13, 2026 by the independent investigator in the recent Title IX investigation, but does not waive the privilege regarding the names of employees who may be identified in the report. The board hereby directs the superintendent to redact employees' names and to release a copy of the redacted decision maker's report to the complainant and the respondent. So clearly here, you had Superintendent Shaw tell me that you waived your attorney-client privilege for the deliverance and dissemination of the report, except for two things. You redacted the names of the witnesses that testified and gave statements. Those statements were a part of the decision maker's report. Now, what's important here is that the Sixth Circuit has rejected the doctrine of selective waiver. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the Court of Appeals, which is a level just below the Supreme Court of the United States. It covers Michigan and several other states. The Sixth Circuit has rejected the doctrine of selective waiver. A party may not disclose privileged communication when advantageous and then invoke the privilege to prevent the scrutiny of the underlying information and legal advice. The general rule is this. Once the privilege has been waived, it cannot be selectively preserved. Now, Michigan also has a similar law regarding attorney-client waivers. They don't call it selective waiver, but they also say that once the attorney-client privilege has been waived, it is waived for all purposes relevant to the reason why the attorney-client privilege was adopted in the first place.
Mr. Thompson, we're well over 3 minutes now.
Okay, I'll close up with the paragraph.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Consequently, because there is no valid attorney-client privilege remaining as to matters relied upon by Superintendent Shaw and this district, MCL 1520268H does not provide a lawful basis for a closed session. Accordingly, I respectfully request that this board conduct its discussion in open session and my objective be reflected in the minutes. Thank you.
Keep it short. President Hatkin, board. President Heck and members of the board, I object the motion to enter closed session, and I respectfully request that my objection be entered into the minutes. Michigan's Open Meeting Act requires public bodies to deliberate and make decisions openly. Closed sessions are limited exceptions, and the board must clearly state the lawful basis for going behind closed doors. The agenda cites MCL 15.268, which allows closed sessions only to consider material exempt from disclosure by the statute. That is a narrow exception. It should not be used to move ordinary public business into private session simply because legal issues, counsel, or investigations, or an investigation are involved. This matter involves student privacy, safety, Title IX concerns, board accountability, and the handling of a complaint by public officials. All that is the community and public's business. There's nothing to hide. Superintendent Shaw and the district have already publicly relied on the conclusions of the independent counsel to justify decisions made in this case. The district cannot use selected portions of that legal work publicly, then hide the facts, reasoning, and accountability behind closed doors. Attorney-client privilege should not be used as both a sword and a shield. Whether intended or not, moving this matter into closed session creates the appearance that the board is hiding facts from the community, myself, my daughter, and the teammates. For those reasons, I ask that deliberations occur in open session, that any final vote will occur publicly, and that my objection be entered into the official minutes. I also want to state one last thing. As board members, you're elected officials. You run on a certain stance on not just wanting to grab the chair and have a badge, have a nameplate. It's to protect the community, protect the schools, reinforce policy, and put politics aside.
30 seconds.
Watching that video last week, it was disarray, which possibly it's warranted. You're so afraid to have that target on your back, but you're not afraid to protect my daughter or any female athlete in the schools. That's your job. That's your responsibility. You are the last straw. I'm not asking you to choose left or right. I'm asking you to do one thing. The information provided, that's all factual. Base your decision off the facts, the countless violations, the countless interviews that stated, yes, Chet had prior knowledge. And then ask yourself, why was he reinstated with all the facts that were against him? Why was the decision made to reinstate somebody that had zero factual support behind him? Violations were made, not only Title IX, but school policy, district policy, yet we're still standing here in front of the board asking why. So I ask one thing, make your vote based off of facts as a parent, as a provider, and as an elected official. You guys are all leaders in this community. It's time we stand up for what we believe in. Don't hide behind closed doors. Speak respectfully and do the right thing. Is it uncomfortable? Absolutely. You can ask my 16-year-old daughter that. I just ask and pray you guys do the right thing moving forward. And I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it, Brian?
Sorry, that's it, Mr. Heck.
I need those.
Oh, you need them.
Okay. Okay. Okay, our next agenda item is going to be the closed session. Before we go into closed session, just so everybody knows, this is the last agenda item. So once we come out of closed session, we will go into adjournment.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go back to open and then adjourn.
There'll be nothing, no business done in open.
No, the close is our last agenda item.
Just
yeah, we'll come back into open and go into adjournment. Okay, so can I get a motion to go into closed session to convene per MCL sections 15.268 section H to consider material exempt from discussion or disclosure by state or federal statute?
I make a motion that we move to convene into closed session per MCL section 15.268 H to consider material exempt from discussion and disclosure by state or federal statute.
Do I have support?
Support.
Okay. Any discussion?
So there's a lot of factors at play, and Jeremy, you're here. So before I vote on my vote, I'm just looking at where we sit with some of the questions regarding closed session. So I just would like some clarification from you on what entails our vote. So like the closed session, I understand that you said MCL. There's other things that were brought up. Can you address any of those? This is just a process thing. This is not a anything but process.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. I will do my best to answer that question accurately, honestly, and without violating your privilege, because it's not my privilege. It's the board's privilege, the client's privilege. So anytime you ask an attorney to provide advice in open session, I'm going to answer very delicately for your sake.
I'm only asking the process, you know, to what is the process so that when we go forward, I'm ensuring that the process that we're doing is like.
So section 8.1H of the Open Meetings Act is one of the limited exceptions to the requirement that the board consider and deliberate in public. That exemption is to consider material exempt from disclosure by state or federal statute. You have to look to a different statute then to find out whether you are looking at a piece of material that's exempt from disclosure by state or federal statute. Mr. Thompson, in public comment just addressed to you, Sixth Circuit precedent on the idea of waiving privilege, which you have publicly done with regard to a document previously. I was not the author of that document. It's my understanding that you had planned to convene in closed session to consider a letter from myself tonight, which is privileged and which you have not waived at this point in time. And does fall under Section 8.1H as a piece of material that is exempt from disclosure by state or federal statute. The statute in question being MCL 15-243-1 Section G, which is Michigan's FOIA Act, which says materials delivered to you under the attorney-client privilege are exempt from disclosure. That's my understanding. That was the intention of the board to go into session to consider my letter, as opposed to a different letter in which you have, as Mr. Thompson pointed out, waived privilege.
I think to further what her question really is after closed session, what happens? So after the board, because it can't make decisions in closed session is the point.
The board is never allowed to vote in closed session, regardless of what exemption you go in under. Any action by the board must take place on public record.
So that led me to two more points. The first one was the letter under discussion is the exclusive document for which we're going to be discussing. Because
President Heck, under your bylaws, asked me to deliver a letter, the subject of which is privileged, and so I will not disclose it in public. But
okay. Okay.
The request was made in public, and so I don't feel I violated your privilege by addressing that aspect. But I have prepared to deliver a letter to the board at the request of the president.
Okay. The follow-up to Andy's question was, I believe, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that after our last meeting in the process on how things were going to go for this closed session, that it was indicated that there would be a vote or some conclusion, which is why when you said there will not be an open session after this, I thought there was something that was alluded to in that. And if I've erred on that, please tell me I've erred, but I thought there was something there.
So I will have to defer because I do not control the board's agenda. No. Your bylaws entrust that to the president and the superintendent. I have no control over that.
Never been the intent tonight to have any kind of vote.
Okay.
Any further discussion? If not, Mary, can we have a roll call, please?
Sure can. Mrs. Taurasi?
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini?
No.
Ms. Myers?
No.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent? Yes. Mr. Heck?
Yes. And the motion carries. So when those doors close, we will be in closed session.
Thank you, everybody.